Okay, we're rolling?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have Melamechas Amud Beis. Is that right? Melamechas Amud Beis, yeah. So, the question over here is, it's a question of the Bishul. If a Bishul is Mishana, the bracha from a Baruch Pi Adama to a Shehakol, or not. So there was some machlokas really. What lamed chesamid is machlokas really between Rav Chisda and Rav Nachman about whether you take two inconsistent statements as a machlokas or as a as two parts of one shita, right? Because one statement is that shlokos mevorchen aleihen b'ayin pri adama. The other is Shlokos Nevorchen Aleihem Shehakol Yevizvaro. So Rav Chisda says it's not a machlokas. Rav Chisda is not a machlokas. Why? Because it depends on the type of vegetable. If it's Tchilas Bar Pri Adama, then when you cook it, it's a Shehakol. And if it's Tchila is a Shehakol, then when you cook it, it's a Bar Pri Adama. Okay, so Rashi explains that what does it mean that it's a shehakol first. I'm sorry, what does it mean it's a bar pri adama at first? So he says, any yerek that's nechal chai, that's bar pri adama first. So if you cook it, why does it become a shehakol? So he says, afke mi milse legriusa. Now you removed it from its thing for the worse. Mavarchin shehakol. And the Gemara later on establishes that that's talking about garlics and leek. And leeks. So what is the fact of garlic and leek that the Rishonim mentioned? It's not true that it's not true to say that when you cook it, it's not good. In fact, they say it improves. So Tosa says no, that really it's only improving because it's cooked with other foods. But on its own, it really gets a little worse. On its own, it gets a little worse. So the Achronim have discussed what type of garlic and leek we're really talking about. They're talking about the big ones that are really sharp and inedible. I mean, it seems from the Achronim that they hold, Lamaisa, the Achronim seem to hold that they're talking about young garlic that's really edible raw. But the garlic that most people use is not edible raw. It's just too hot. Right? So that would be a shakol in the beginning, because that's not nechal kamo shuchai. So they want to say they're talking about a different, about the young garlics. I don't know. I've never had a young garlic. But in terms of the leek, it would be like a leek is eaten raw. I mean, it's like a scallion, right? But anyway, so it gets a little bit worse. On its own, it would get a little bit worse. But it's not edible. It's not out of its derech achilas. It's just not its primary derech achilas. Now, so that's why you make a shehakol. And the other case is where it's a shehakol in the beginning, is what? That's called yerek shein darko le'echol chai. Shemetchiloso im ochol chai shehakol umavarech. So if it's like a pumpkin that's not eaten raw, so then you make a shehakol. And then if you cook it, so Rashi ve'vio l'derech achila, so now when you cook it, you bring it into its achila, into its derech achila, hu ikar pirio, that's the ikar pri, mevorech b'ayin pri adama. So that's Rav Chisda, that it depends on the vegetable. If it's normally eaten raw, then it's b'ayin pri adama, and if you cook it, it's a shehakol. Okay, and the Rishonim say, and I don't think Rashi disagrees, that it's only talking about things that actually get a little worse when you cook them. But for instance, vegetables that are eaten equally raw and cooked are not included in this Gemara.
Like a carrot.
That's Rav Chisda. And Rav Nachman said that they're arguing. Rav Nachman said that they're arguing. And he says that one holds that all cooked vegetables are borei pri adama. Right? And that's essentially including tumi v'karsi. Right? saying that even though they get a little worse when you cook them, they retain their bracha of bar pri adama. But he's not arguing on the other side. He's not arguing that raw vegetables that are not eaten raw are shakal. He's just arguing that because everybody agrees. That's not derech achilasa. Everybody agrees eat something not derech achilasa is shakal. But the question is, the two mivakarsi you can't say are not derech achilasa. So that's what we said before. But they just get worse by the bishul process.
But so, well, you just said that if you cooked it and it was removed from derech achilasa, you wouldn't say.
Then it'll be shakal.
Right.
But there's nothing like that apparently. The closest thing we could find is the sheves, but that seemed to be not even an ochel after you cook it. It comes just like a twig. But anyway, so that's Rav Nachman. That's Rav Nachman wants to say for Shmuel that cooking doesn't change it at all. And Rashi says, what's Shmuel's shita? It's like Rabbi Meir by matzah. That when you bake, when you mevashel the matzah, it still is a shem lechem. So it's koi b'milsei. Even though it's mevushel, it's koi b'milsei. It doesn't change the thing. And Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rav Nachman, holds that every cooked vegetable is a shakal. Even though that's the way it's eaten. Because once you cook it, it loses its shame pri. Right? And that's the same by the bread. That by the lechem. That if you cook the matzah, you can't be yotzi matzah anymore. Because Rashi says, lav lechem ikri. It's no longer a lechem. So apparently, lav pri ikri. If you cook a vegetable, it's not considered a pri adam anymore. Okay? And then Rashi goes through with this idea of pri throughout the Gemara here. And so we wanted to say like this. First of all, that just factually speaking, the difference between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda is whether the statements are absolute or limited, right? That the Rav Nachman is learning that each statement, shlokos, is referring to all shlokos. And Rav Chisda was saying it's only referring to certain ones. So therefore, there's not an argument. But what is the machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, whether you can take the statements as absolutes or not? So, and also, why does Rav Nachman hold that according to Shmuel, that says that cooking doesn't change it, right? So how come it changes it from a shakal to a bar pri adama? It does change it from a shakal to a bar pri adama, right? So he said that Rav Nachman seems to hold that the cooking does do something because the pumpkin was a shakal, and when you cook it, it becomes a bar pri adama. Right. You can't say the cooking doesn't do anything.
According to Shmuel?
Even according to Shmuel, who says that if you cook the tumi v'karsi, it won't change them into a shakal. But he agrees it can change certain things into a bar pri adama.
Right.
Right? So he said that's because Rav Nachman held that the shame pri is really, I mean, this whole question is a question of how does bishul affect the shame pri? Because Rashi holds, that's Rashi shita throughout the parak, that you need to have the pri to be mevarich bori pri ha'adama or pri ha'etz. That's like Rashi said by the zeya, by the juice. So zeya b'amahu, what does zeya b'amahu mean? The ain't no pri, levarich lev bori pri ha'etz. And by the olives, olive oil, Rashi also said that olive oil you can make a bracha on even though it's changed because he says it's a ba, it says, So you can say the olive oil is a pri. But the question over here is by Bishul. Question over here is by Bishul. Yeah. And does Bishul change the shame pri? Right? Yeah. And that's like the Gemara before, by the Trima. Gemara also says, Bore Priya 8, my time of Bimil Sayu Kaimi Kidimeikar. It's unchanged. Still has the same shame as before. But the question is, does Bishul have the same shame as before? So he said that's based on one thing, that Rav Nachman is saying the shame pri is really the natural pri. Now when you say bori pri ha'etz, a pri adama, the shame pri is the pri of the natural formation. So the pri exists right away. Now the only question is, do you lose it or do you keep it? Right? Now Shmuel is saying that when you're mevashel a pumpkin, so it's not that you're doing anything in terms of the shame pri, but there are two requirements to make the bracha of bari pri adama. You need to have the pri, and you need to have derech achiloso. If it's not derech achiloso, you can't make the bracha of bari pri eitz, or bari pri adama. So you're not changing anything in terms of the shame pri when you cook it, you're just making it derech achiloso. You have to do a normal maisa achila in order to be mevarech on the entity. You have to relate to it in its proper way in order to be mevarech on it as an ochel. So that's what Shmuel really, that's what Nachman held. He held before the Memra that the pri is the natural pri. So when Shmuel says shlokos abari pri adoma, he interpreted it to mean that all shlokos abari pri adoma. Because otherwise, what's Shmuel telling me? Just that if I have the pumpkin derech achiloso, I get a bari pri adoma. Of course, I know that. So it must be telling me the other end of the spectrum, that even though something is cooked and now made worse, the bishul does not change the shame apri. And as long as it still is a derech achila, I can make the bari pri adama. But when he saw Rav Yochanan said that shlokos are shahakol, he also interpreted it in an absolute sense to mean that the bishul always changes the shame pri. You started out with the pri, but the process of bishul is a mafkia of the shame pri. And the same thing would apply to matzah on Pesach. Is bishul going to change it from lechem to from a lechem to a mevushal, or is it going to be lechem that was cooked, but it still has shame lechem? So he said that really Shmuel is more mistaver. Because if he learned like Rav Nachman that the shame pri is the natural entity, so bishul is just a conditional change. The natural entity was here before and it's here after. It's just in a different state. Changing the thing's qualities does not change its shame. It shouldn't change its shame. Okay? It's different than juicing the thing. Because in juicing the thing, you're breaking up its natural components. It had a natural unity, and now that natural unity is gone. But here, all the components are here. Their condition is just a change. They're a little softer, a little harder, whatever it is. But all the components of Briyasa are here. They're just in a different condition. I mean, you wouldn't say that just being hot or cold is going to be a change. That's also a condition. But therefore he held the bishul is not going to affect the real shame of the thing. So too by lechem. But Rav Yochanan held that since the pri, it's true the pri is defined kibriyaso, but the pri kibriyaso is really a type of ochel. And in the realm of ochel, bishul is a creative process. The creative process means that it starts with a raw material, and it has a new product. So since in the realm of bishul, and you see that everyone agrees that, by lechem, for instance, you take the dough, you apply the process of bishul, and you create a new entity. It's lechem now. It's not just dough that was in a new condition. In the realm of ochlim, bishul is a creative process. So therefore he held that process, when applied to all ochlim, has the same result. It makes everything into a new product. It's now a mevushal. It's no longer the pre-kibriyaso was the ingredient, but the tavshil in the end is a new product, and therefore it loses its shame, being subject to the process of bishul as a real process, not just a conditional change. Now, that's really what we're saying. The machlokes is bishul a conditional change, or is it a creative process that takes something and transforms it? And since in the realm of ochlim, that's what it does, if you engage anything in the realm of as an ochel and cook it, it'll have that result. Yeah.
Methodology question on this?
Yeah.
So we're saying that the machlokas is a machlokas in bishul, right?
Right.
So, but if I'm understanding you correctly, I think it comes out that really the difference is the way you're going to view pri, because Shmuel's viewing.
What's that?
Right?
We're saying according to Rav Na, according to Shmuel and Rav Yochanan.
You're talking about two different machlokas.
Yeah, which machlokas are you talking about?
Yeah, between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan.
Yeah, go ahead. Why?
Because Shmuel's going to say that you look at the pre kibriyasa, it's like a natural phenomenon. So then when you look at Bishol, so in Echonami, it's just like a, you know, equalities. But Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, no, if you're looking at pre in the framework of an Achila, so then, like everything we said, the Bishol is a significant
change. Right, but they're both
change.
Agreeing that the shame pre emerges at the from the growing process.
No, I know, but I'm saying, my question
And they're both agreeing that the pre is an Ochel. The only question is, when the process of food, when the process of Bishol, which is transformative in some types of food, is applied to other foods that don't intrinsically have that same transformation,
right.
Do you say that this is now a process of Bishol, and it's koveya, its own product in the realm of Ochel? You know what I'm saying? Question is, because the process of Bishol, it's exactly the problem is the problem is precisely that they agree on all these things. The problem is precisely because they agree that the shame pre is a natural thing, and they agree that the pre is an ochel, and they agree bishel is a process of ochel. The only thing is...
Well, let me say this one thing. Yeah. According to what we're saying, which would you say the following? Would you say that each side would agree that if you were to look at pre only as either a natural thing or as an achila thing, that granted, and if you looked at it that way, then you would say what you said about bishel?
Right.
So then doesn't it come down that they're really not arguing about bishel? They agree about bishel, it's just a matter of which way you look at Ikrapiria, I mean, whatever, shame pre.
No, I mean, the question is I'm not. When I say the argument about Bishol, what I mean to say is that the question is, does the process of Bishol, which in a natural sense would not destroy the shame pre, does it change the shame pre because this entity is in a greater entity in which Bishol is a creative process?
What do you mean by creative process in that greater entity of Ochel? Do you mean that it factually will change the substance, or just because it's like viewed in the realm of man as like a new thing?
Because in the realm of man, it's like a new thing. In the realm of man, it's like a new thing. In the realm of man, it's like a new thing. Like
Achil is the realm of man.
That's right. That's what the problem is. The problem is that you have a natural entity. You have a problem is because you have part of it is a natural entity, and part of it is in the realm of man. And Bishol doesn't really relate to the natural entity. You understand?
It won't change the natural.
It won't change the natural entity, but since the natural entity is subsumed under a greater category of the realm of man, and Bishol does have this effect in the realm of man, do we now say that the shame pre, which is the shame pre is subsumed. The shame pre is lost because of the greater category of the realm of man is going to blot it out. Or do you say, no, you can't get rid of the basic fundamental component?
And that's not due to the pre-ness of the thing also, because it happens to lechem also. It's the same question.
Right.
So.
Right. Now, is it somewhat of a type of a question where the foundational primary existence, right? We have a primary existence like pre. That's its really primary existence. That's its right. And then we take that in the realm of man and say this is an ochel, right? And now you're having a process of the secondary realm of ochel, which doesn't really intrinsically relate to the primary realm. Do you say, well, the whole primary thing is just we disregard the primary because the essential thing is that it's in the realm of Ochel? Or do you say, no, you can't disregard the primary because that's the basis of the whole thing's existence? Yeah.
Again, just from a methodology standpoint?
Yeah.
Maybe this is just a semantic point, I'm not sure, but it seems to me like it's almost as if the location of the machlokas will manifest itself by Bishol. But it seems like conceptually it's going to depend on the way
you pray. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying when I say the machlokas and the Bishol, I'm saying the question is...
That's the difference between them.
That's the difference between them. Will Bishol have an effect?
But
it
turns out the concept by pray.
Right. As opposed to what we were saying the machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Nachman is. That Rav Chista held the very shame pre is derech achiloso.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's what I mean to say. I mean to highlight the difference between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda.
Right.
According to Rav Nachman, it's the shame pre is kibriyaso. And now they're arguing, how does Bishol affect the shame pre? Right?
Yeah, no,
But Rav Chisda is saying that Rav Chista was saying, no, that the shame, that really when it's something that's not, when it's kibriyaso, but it's not nechal kamoshu chai, that's lacking in the shame pri. Because the very shame, he merged the two concepts. He says, the shame pri that we talk about is not a natural pri. It's a pri of achila.
Which is why he could never entertain this
So that's why he was saying that when they said shloko samvarchan lambar pri adama, that is conveying that very idea. That the shame pri is emerging through the bishul. That's why it's only talking about vegetables that are nechal, that are not eaten raw. Right? Because they're saying the shame pri emerges through the bishul. Right? But why does it lose the shame pri when you're mevashel it if it's normally eaten raw? That's more difficult. So we said that really, there's three ways to look at the bishul process.
It's not, was that case again?
Like the garlic. How come the garlic loses its shame when you cook it?
Right.
So he said, you could say that they're viewing bishul in three different ways. According to Rav Nachman, so you have two ways. Either it creates a change or it doesn't create a change in the pre. Right? According to Rav Chista, bishul is a process. Okay? It is a process. The only thing is we're saying that if the process is in line with the natural growth of the thing, right, then it's a continuation of the process can be a continuation of the prior processes of the fruit itself. So if it grew in, if it grows from the ground and it's an ochel, but it's not ready to be eaten.
So then
the bishul is really a continuation of the natural production. It's like the man is continuing the production of the thing. Because he views it in the realm of ochel. He views its very definition in the realm of ochel. It's not a natural pre that we're just using. That's part of the idea of pre. That's part of the definition of pre, that it's a nechel. So then you go back to the beginning of how you got it. And you say, this is all one continuous process. How do we get this pre? Well, first we plant it, we grow it, and then we cook it. That's all one process. But it's only one process because it's a continuation of all the prior processes. But by the tumi vakarsi, since they get worse, that's a deviation from the prior process. So now it's its own process. You understand?
Yeah, because it's a deviation? Because you've already reached the culmination of the process.
Well, same thing. You can't be, now you can only go down. You know what I'm saying?
Well, right, so if you cooked it and it just stayed the same,
then it'll be fine. Right? Then it'll be fine. But the fact that it's going away from the prior, all the prior processes were making it edible. Now this is making it less edible. So now it's considered the new process. So we're saying it's a process, but it has the ability to be a continuation of the prior processes. Unless it's connected the original process, yeah.
I was just thinking about this, defining bishul according to Rav Chista this way. Isn't all this really accidental to bishul per se, though, according to him? Because it's just that, really, it seems like, according to him, the essential thing is that shame pre-emerges when it's in its derech achila. So whether it gets there via bishul or via, let's say, just it takes time to ripen, like, bishul just seems to be accidental to the fact that it's, you know, emerging as its derech achila. Like, it doesn't seem like he's saying bishul is a process, certainly not the same way, let's say, Rav Yochanan would be. Rav Yochanan is saying bishul, like, intrinsically is a process because it's changing the way
right.
man views
he's
it.
He's saying bishul is a process. Well, also, I'm trying to say, though, with the tumi vikarsi, why is tumi vikarsi shakal?
I'm saying it doesn't seem that that's any idea in bishul per se. It's just because it ends up resulting in the fact that it's going to no longer be in starach achila. It seems like bishul is accidental to this question.
No. Well, then why should it be, why should tumi vikarsi be shakal?
Because it's not in its derech achila anymore.
But what's, it's not in its derech, but then we get into a factual question. Is it, when you say it's not its derech achila, do you mean like a raw vegetable that's not eaten raw? That was always the problem we were having.
Right?
So that's what I wanted to say, that since the bishul is just taking it down a notch, even though it's just taking it down a notch, and it's a process, now you can't call it a continuation, you can't call it a kiyum of the original processes. And now it'll lose its shame pretty.
I still think you can, I think it's smoother to just pin that question on the issue of derech achil. I mean, it's not a question of, is bishul going to remove it from like continuing along the process of its growth. Just once it's falling off, like it, let's say it reaches a peak of its derech achila, once it gets removed from that, not that bishul is a process that removes it, just once it's removed, once it, you know, it goes down a level, it's considered that the growth process, like till that point, stops. Not because of the bishul per se, just because it's no longer at that level. You know, it just seems to me that
bishul is an
accident.
Well, the reason why, but the thing is that it seems like from the Gemara view that they're trying to that bishul is a process. It's just the question: is it a process that happens side by that happens to the object, or it happens? Is it a process that transforms the object, or is it a conditional process? But to just say it's just like the thing ripening, I mean, I'm trying to say that Rav Chisda has Rav Chisda come down to the question of is bishul a process in the shame or not? I mean, you're going to say he holds it's just not to nothing.
He holds it's undefined.
Undefined?
That's what he's telling you. It's,
what do you mean undefined?
Bishul on a pre is undefined.
But bishul has to have, you can say something has two different effects on two different things. You say if you put something in the fire, it gets black.
So he'll say bishul practically changes.
But what is the fire?
He'll say bishul practically changes the pre. It can practically change the pre, and depending on the practicality, that's going to, you know, that's going to define the bishul as whatever it is.
But then you're going to say that anything that gets a little, no, you don't say that just because something got a little worse, it loses its bracha unless getting worse shows that it was changed. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. That getting a little worse is only important if the thing was considered to have undergone a change.
Right, it gets a little stale after.
So, right.
So now you can say that bishul really is a process. The only thing is it's either a constructive process or a destructive process. It's going to be considered constructive as long as it's in line with the kiyum of this fruit. But once it's out of line, then it must be considered destructive. It must be considered that it changed it from its natural thing. Otherwise, you're just going to say that anything that's a little worse loses its shame. Right? Okay.